Now, many of you probably know that this past week, Rory McLeod came face to face with death out on the sea. As he was kayaking, he was turned over and nearly lost his life. Though thankfully, a fisherman was able to pull him to shore, and then he was able to be airlifted to the near hospital. But you see here, Rory had escaped death. He was, you see, saved from the sharp fangs of the open sea. And as we turn to look here in Psalm 34 in a little while, we find a David who had escaped the sword of his enemies. The Lord had rescued David from the midst of evil. And just before we read here, if you look at Psalm 34, you might notice in the headlines there, the introduction of it, it says, "Of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left." Now what does that have to do with David being saved from death? Well, as we have just read, it has to do with the story in 1 Samuel 21, that as Saul had made it his mission, King Saul had made it his mission to try and kill David, he finds himself fleeing. David finds himself fleeing from Saul. And the way he escapes Saul is by going to a place called Gath. Now, David, in the midst of this story, remember, had just killed Goliath. And when he killed Goliath, this forced the Philistine army to retreat up into this town of Gath, which just happened to be the hometown of Goliath. So David, here in this story, is doing something quite remarkable. It's really strange. You're not really sure why David, when fleeing from Saul, would go someplace where he just basically defeated their whole army. He defeated Goliath. He flees from Saul trying to kill him, and he goes to a town where he is probably the most hated man. Like I said, there's an uncertainty to why he did this, but nonetheless, here David is in Gath. He's escaped Saul. He's escaped the Saul trying to kill him, but now David faces evil once again, because when he arrives in Gath, the servants, as we read in 1 Samuel 21, immediately notice who he is. In fact, the servants say, "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." And so David is scooped up by the servants in order to be taken in front of their king. But David, he realizes what's going on. And so, in fear, he starts to act like a madman. A madman who had spit and drool running down his beard. He was probably foaming at the mouth. He was beating on the walls, scratching them with his fingernails. He was acting possessed. Because, you see, in the ancient Eastern world, it was bad luck to mess with a crazy man like this. So the king says, "Look at this man. He's insane. Why bring him to me? I've got enough of these types of crazy madmen in my life. I don't need any more. Let him go." So David, once again here, escapes evil. Just after escaping Saul, escaping the evil hands of Saul, who was trying to kill him, David once again escapes evil. And so Psalm 34 is now where we find David reflecting on these events, reflecting on escaping death, on escaping the enemy. So keep this in mind as we read together. And would you now look with me here in Psalm 34 and read and listen, because this is the very word of God. Psalm 34 begins, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His holy people, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Would you pray with me as we look to God's word? Heavenly Father, we do pray now that you would meet us. That we would meet you. Father, we pray that we would know you more through your word, that we would worship you now through the preaching of your word. Father, I pray that you would be with me, that I would, Lord, speak the truth and nothing but the truth, Lord. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Now here in Psalm 34, David is giving us a sneak peek into what it means to fear the Lord. You see, in the midst of him being saved from evil, saved from death, David here displays what it is to fear the Lord, what it is to taste and to see that the Lord is good. David gives you a picture of what it means, as I said, to fear the Lord. And he also gives you an invitation, in fact, a command to fear the Lord. Here in Psalm 34, he's testifying to the Lord's goodness, the Lord's deliverance and protection to those who fear him. As he says in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. But what does fearing the Lord mean? What does it look like? You know, if you were to ask a Christian, what does it mean to fear the Lord? You might get a variety of answers. But let us look to what the Scriptures say. Let's look what David says here about fearing the Lord. Because Christians, if you're a Christian here, you're called to fear the Lord. In fact, if you want to experience the Lord's goodness, you must fear Him. You must fear the Lord. And so, as we look at what fearing the Lord is, I want us to just take a couple things of what it means, according to David. The first apparent part of fearing the Lord that comes out here in Psalm 34 is that your boast is in the Lord alone. You see, David could have easily, after escaping Saul and the Philistines, boasted in himself. He could have boasted in how talented or swift he was, or how strong he was, to be able to withstand the evil and death that was surrounding him. I mean, he had just defeated Goliath. He had basically defeated the Philistine army by himself. David you see, had every reason to boast in himself. But David reflects on these past events by beginning in verse 1 with, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." You see, David's boast is in the glory of the Lord. David humbles himself before the Lord because for the fear of the Lord for David is a humbling. Is a humbling before the mighty throne of God. It is an exaltation of the glory of the Lord. And so, fearing the Lord to David is also a seeking the Lord. So it's a glorifying the Lord, and it's also a seeking the Lord. David also shows us that fearing the Lord is to seek Him. To seek Him and His goodness. Because in seeking the Lord, David is declaring that the Lord is sufficient for every step of life. Seeking the Lord is a declaration that David is dependent wholly upon the Lord. And because David has sought the Lord, he has tasted the Lord's goodness. He has seen the Lord's deliverance for those who fear Him. David has the confidence and ability to testify that seeking the Lord is better than any evil or wicked in this life. That seeking the Lord may make the face shine and radiate contentment in the Lord. Radiate the transformation of a life of fear to a life of confidence and joy. See, seeking the Lord shows a continued reliance upon the grace of God to strengthen you each day so that no fear or shame may rule you. But as David says in verse 5, those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. See, those who seek the Lord turn away from evil and do good, as it says in verse 14. Those who seek the Lord, their delight is in peace. Their delight is in the Lord. Their rest is in the Lord. Because David knows that those who take refuge in the Lord will lack nothing. They will be promised salvation, promised deliverance from evil, deliverance from trouble, promised that the Lord will be with them in trouble. As this is what David gives us here in verses 17 through 22, if you'd read with me, that it says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. But the Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned." And so David here shows us what it is to fear the Lord. And he gives us this mighty testimony of the Lord's protection on those who fear him. He is declaring that the Lord is the only one who may save from the hands of evil men. That the Lord is the only one who may save from the pit of death. He is testifying to this experience he has had. And he wants you to experience it as well. And so he calls on you in verse 8 to taste and see that the Lord is good. That blessed, happy is the one who takes refuge in the Lord. In verse 9, fear the Lord, David says. Fear the Lord. For fearing the Lord, you will lack nothing. You see, David, he wants you, he's inviting you to share in this experience of salvation that he has had. This salvation from evil, man, from death itself. Now, but you may be thinking, that's great and all, but I've never had a near-death experience like David. I've never had someone trying to chase me down and murder me. So to be honest, I'm having a hard time seeing the experience that of joy that David is having, the experience of the goodness of the Lord as David has here. And so I don't really see the necessity of fearing the Lord as he did. But what I want to say to you is that you have even a greater problem than David. You've got a greater problem than David had as he ran from the hands of evil men. And that greater problem is sin. See, you've got a heart that loves sin and by nature hates God. That outside of Christ, your heart loves evil and wicked, loves sin, as Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 2, that you were dead in your transgressions and sins, gratifying the cravings of the flesh, by nature deserving of wrath, is what he says. So if you are outside of Jesus Christ, you are in an even worse situation than David was. See, outside of Christ, you're a slave to sin. And what this sin does is it separates you from God. It separates you from God, the one you were made for. It separates you from the very source of true joy. It separates you from true satisfaction, from contentment, from feeling as if you have any purpose in the world. And because you are in desperate, because of this, you are in desperate need of salvation from your sin. And so you still might say, well, I get that. But I still haven't tasted the goodness of the Lord in salvation. I haven't tasted the goodness of the Lord in the salvation of my sins, from my sins. And I say, it's only because you haven't realized how desperately sin-sick you really are, and how desperately you need a Savior. The missionary and preacher Paul Washer once said, "It is only against the pitch blackness of the night that we see the glory of the stars. And it is only against the pitch blackness of man's radical depravity that we can begin to see the glories of the gospel." You see, you've got a greater problem than David, and it is your sin. You may never need to be saved from the physical dangers of this world, but you most certainly need to be saved from your bent nature towards God. But praise be to God that as He rescued David from evil and death, He will rescue those who fear Him. He will rescue those who call upon Him. He will rescue you from your sin, because our God is rich in mercy. You see, our God, rich in mercy and grace, has stepped down, stooped down through His Son, Jesus Christ, and made Him the perfect one this perfect one, this Jesus who knew no sin, to become sin for you. It is God who has sent His own Son to die for wicked and evil sinners, to shed His own blood, to give up His own life for sinners, for wicked and evil men. You see, this is the goodness of the Lord, that He hasn't left you hopeless. He hasn't left you hopeless to die, but that He has sent Jesus to shed His own blood for you. And that by Jesus' death and resurrection, you have the assurance, just as David had the assurance of victory over death, you have the assurance of victory over death. You have the assurance of victory in the midst of any trouble. You have the assurance that the Lord will deliver you from evil. And so David calls us to fear the Lord, to glory in Him, to seek Him, because He is what we need. He is what we desire. That in the Lord we may put off the sins that drag us down. We may put off the evil and seek peace and pursue it. For the Lord's eyes, as David says, are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their cry. You see, we were made for God. We were made to know Him and to delight in Him and to taste and see His goodness. And it is this very God, this one who we by nature are enemies of, He through Jesus has become a friend of ours. And it is God who supplies us with everything we need in Christ. And because of this, because of Christ, we may taste and see that the Lord is good. And so during this communion season, as you prepare your hearts and mind for the Lord's Supper, you have no greater opportunity to taste and see the Lord's goodness. That as you fear the Lord and you look upon Him, and know that all your sins are forgiven in Jesus, and that in Jesus you have the confidence that you are more than conquerors. That in Jesus you have a purpose. In Jesus your life is meaningful. You see, the gospel is not about us just looking upon our sins all the time, but it is about looking to Christ and seeing His victory over sin. To seeing the life that we have in Christ, this new life that we have in Christ, that we're made for something, that we're made with a purpose, with meaning. We're made to glorify the Lord and to enjoy Him forever. And so as we look at the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Supper is exactly this act of tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. As I said, as I referred to just a minute ago, in the States, this happens too often. Most of the people treat the Lord's Supper as something pretty depressing, to be honest. Because all they think about is their sin. But the Lord's Supper is not about your sin. It's about the victory that Jesus has over sin. It is about the blood shed for you. It is about the deliverance, the salvation that we have in Christ. So this should bring us great joy. It should turn our faces from shame and to joy. Just as David rejoiced in the Lord and experiencing salvation, so too should we rejoice. So too should we rejoice in the Lord's Supper. It should make us rejoice. You see, one time, a young boy he had a chocolate bar. And after he took his first bite of the sweet chocolate, he looked at his father and he said, and no joke, this actually happened. He said, "I'm tasting that the Lord is good." You see, the sweet taste of the chocolate bar gave this young boy joy. Now, while we aren't going to be tasting chocolate tomorrow, in communion, we will be tasting something so much sweeter. We will be tasting upon the Lord, tasting the salvation that we have in Christ, how He has delivered you from every foe. We will be tasting the very goodness of the Lord. And so as you leave tonight, may you know the sweetness of salvation that is in the Lord. That when David escaped death, his boast was in the Lord. His joy was in the Lord because he had tasted the Lord's salvation. He had tasted that the Lord is good. He had tasted that those who take refuge in the Lord will lack nothing but be filled with joy. And so may it be with you that you taste the goodness of the Lord in salvation. That while we were dead in our sins, we are alive in Christ.